You know, some people enjoy composing their own music, chord by chord, and others are happiest when they come across that one perfect song. Work is not a lot different than that. Whether you prefer building your own workflow or using a pre-made template, with Monday.com, you and the team can work in a way that's comfortable for everyone. Tap the banner to go to Monday.com and build your own amazing workflow, or find an awesome template. No judgment.
Shopify's already taken the cash register online, helping millions sell billions around the world. But did you know that Shopify can do the same thing at your retail store? Give your point of sale system a serious upgrade with Shopify. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything that you need to sell in person. And with Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that's going to effortlessly unite your in-person and online sales into just one source of truth. You're going to be able to track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. You could connect with customers in-line and online. And Shopify, it's going to help you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns. So we're talking about TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business, take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or you can use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for battle-tested solutions. Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. I say do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/headspace. That's all lowercase. So you're going to go to shopify.com/headspace to take your retail business to the next level today. I'm going to say it one more time. shopify.com/headspace.
Headspace Studios.
Hello, friends. Robin here. And today it is me and Sam, and we are talking about the holidays. And I am so excited because we have got questions about how to change gift-giving culture in your family, creating holiday traditions in a new relationship, and how to handle required family holiday trips. So without further ado, ho, 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 here we go.
Have you ever wished you had a wise meditation teacher on speed dial?
Someone you can call after a long day.
Someone you could lean on for their advice.
Someone to listen and help you to see things differently.
Welcome to Dear Headspace, a podcast where I sit with a meditation teacher and we answer your questions. Hi, Sam. It is just so lovely to see you again.
You too, Robin. I'm so happy to be here and to be talking about the holidays. I just love the holidays.
I know. It's like our annual Surviving the Holidays episode.
We need it.
It's exciting. And I'm going to say also very necessary. Exactly. Yes. Same page.
Every year we need it. It's like we need to be reminded of what a crazy time it is and of all the tools that we can access within ourselves, hopefully.
Right? Because I don't know about you, but like when I go to family things, I always think, oh, it'll be different this time.
Oh, yeah.
And it is not.
It's always different. There's always some surprise or some magic that happens that you don't anticipate.
Not necessarily good magic, but magic.
Yeah. But yeah, I kind of just embrace it. And I definitely make an exit plan for myself. You know, I'll say like, I'm going to do a Starbucks run.
Yes.
And then that run turns into like an hour and I make up a reason. And
oh, I do love that. I do love an errand run. I do get you out of the house for a minute. Well, we're going to hop into these questions, but I do have a little housekeeping that I have to go through first. After this episode, Dear Headspace will be on a holiday hiatus of our own, and we are all going to be enjoying some downtime with our friends and our families. But here's the thing. Do not panic. We will be back on Tuesday, January 9th, and it'll be here before you know it. And if you miss us, there's always the back catalog of Dear Headspace episodes that you can listen to. Okay. Time for our first question. Here is Philip.
Dear Headspace, my name is Philip and I'm in Brooklyn, New York. And I have a question around gift giving and how I can maybe change the culture of giving gifts within my family at the holidays. So historically, my family has kind of traded these unceremonious Christmas list emails with just links to different things on Amazon or like just random impersonal products. And I'd love for the gift giving to be a little bit more thoughtful. And so last year at the holidays, I ignored everybody's list and picked out a thoughtful gift for everyone in my family. And people seemed just like a little displeased that I didn't just buy something off of their list. But I really just think we could be giving gifts in a more thoughtful way. And I'm honestly like a little hurt that my family doesn't want to take the time to pick out a thoughtful gift. And so just wondering if you have any suggestions for how I could change this gift-giving culture within my family. Thank you guys for everything you do. Bye.
Oh, Philip, that's a great question to kick off our holiday episode. It really is, because gift giving is not a simple thing, right? There's expectations, and some people have less time to be thoughtful. Some people have less money. And I think also we all bring our own past of what we like and what we want, and then we assume everybody wants that.
Yeah, I can just so relate. I imagine the years between like 15 and 25 where I was so committed to creating meaningful gifts. I say created because I would do art projects and collaging, and or I would make like bath salts, or one year I did hand massages for everybody. I was trying desperately to like infuse.
You were like all poor Sam, and you were like, hi, give me your hand.
And my family was just like, all they want to do is watch sports and eat a lot. And you know, I'm the anomaly in the family for sure. I mean, they feign interest and
like, oh, bath salts.
The holidays bring up memories of being a child, and we all have associations with it that are some positive, some negative. But there's this delight that comes from, I think, knowing that you might get something that you saw throughout the year that you wouldn't buy for yourself,
yeah,
you know, because you just don't want to spend the money on something frivolous or something you don't really need. But knowing that someone's going to get it for you, there's still a delight that's preserved in the thing that you want that someone else is buying for you. So I kind of understand the rigidity around that, or the wanting to preserve, like, get something from my list because I can't buy it for myself.
Yeah. And also, like, I'm thinking, you know, when my kids were young, Christmas just snuck up on me every year and punched me in the back of the head. And I'd be like, I'm doing the really best I can to make sure I got stuff for them. And I'm buying Tonka trucks and this. And it's like, I was like, I do not have time to be thoughtful for my Aunt Susie. Right. I don't have an Aunt Susie, but if I did, I didn't have that kind of time. But you know what I'm saying? It's like, so I can see both sides of it.
Yeah, that's such an important topic. Like, just to really zoom out and go, wait, I want to be, like, acknowledge the urge to be thoughtful and to want to spend time thinking about Aunt Susie and what she likes and what delights her.
Yeah.
Right? That's a wonderful urge to have.
What I love about Philip's question is it's so thoughtful, right? It's so like he wants the family to be more thoughtful, but I would challenge him to step out a little bit and look at everyone in a holistic point. Like, is there someone in your family that has young kids and that's going to be too much for them? Are there older people? Are there people on budget constraints? Like, and then trying to navigate together everyone.
Absolutely. I think the budget constraints is a really important one too, because
it's real.
Yeah. We did an white elephant one year and my mom bought a gag gift. And one of my cousins got stuck with it because no one wanted it. It was traded around. I think it was, by the way, it was a bottle of Vagisil that ended up.
Your mom's got jokes.
Oh, it's a funny family. Yeah. But there was laughter, right? But then there was hurt. There was actual real hurt. It was because other people had bought nicer gifts and they had, you know, thought about what are they actually going to use? And some family members don't have a large disposable income. Yeah. And so they were looking forward to something a little cozy, a little nice. And they got Vagisil. Yeah. So,
I mean, just can't. I just am going to stop myself. It's well, but you're highlighting in a very funny way. Everyone's coming from their own point of view, and communication's important. Yeah. So, like, if you're going to set up a white elephant, then you have to be like, okay, here are the parameters: $10 gifts right. only. Go for funny, or it has to be homemade, and it should be really thoughtful. But I think buy-in is what's really important.
Yeah,
any kind of a large group. What's the vibe and what does everyone want?
Yeah.
Like I have a group of friends that are like my really, really tight gal pals. And we have weekends and we'll be like, all right, I don't really want to go anywhere or do anything while we're together. I want us to all be in pajamas and I want to sit down. And then everybody knows it's a moment to be like, oh, but I kind of wanted us to take a walk. I'm down for a walk, but I still want to remain in my pajamas. Like, it's like all of us coming together and we end up every time creating an amazing weekend because everybody gets what they need. And eventually someone always goes, God, this is so perfect. I didn't want to do anything. And it reminds me of holidays. You've got all these people coming together and we don't talk about those things enough.
Exactly.
We don't say like, let's all come together and what do we all want? And is anybody open to changing this or, you know, but it can't be a text.
Exactly. I think what you just said really highlights how safe you all feel together as well. Like safe enough to say, I don't, or I want this instead of this. And everyone's needs are incorporated. I think in some families, certainly in mine, we have some people pleasers who will go along with whatever's proposed, but then, you know, secretly be resenting it or not wanting it. So it's tough. And I think we almost need to, in our family, like elect a holiday leader, like someone who everyone agrees.
A rotating holiday leader.
Yeah. Because I would love to be the holiday leader, but I'm the child, you know, I don't have as much, you know, authority. So, but I would be happy to like lead the election and have everyone like say who they want to be the holiday leader.
But again, we're highlighting the same issue. A lot of people, different ideas.
Yes.
And there's just got to be care when you're on that. You know, it's like, there's a reason I can't be on the PTO. Like I cannot be with that many invested parents trying to change school policy. Like I went to one meeting and was like, no, thank you. Like, cause it's, I know myself.
But I think just as an overarching kind of mindset that's helpful is to remember that everyone cares and that's good. You know, it's good that you have different wants and needs and that you want to give a gift and you want it to be thoughtful and you want to make it better. Like that just means that you care about the people who are your family. And that's a wonderful thing. So if you're starting with that, everything else can be worked out.
All right. Thank you for your question, Philip. And good luck. Good luck on the holidays.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go to our next question from Maria.
Hi, everyone. It's Maria here. So my partner and I just moved in together and we keep having disagreements about the upcoming holidays. He has traditions from his family and I have traditions from mine. And of course, they clash. Like, he wants to open presents on Christmas Eve, and I like to do it day of. We're just clashing. But it's not just that. It's also that I feel like we're both just repeating our pasts, and I want us to come together and find our new traditions. So how do I approach this with him? And how do we start our own family life together? Thanks for everything you do. I love Dear Headspace.
You know, I really, really get this question because, you know, when my wife and I got together, you know, she had this whole tradition of like going to see her family in Ohio. And I was like, okay, I'm willing to do that. But once we have a family, I want our Christmas to be at home together. Mm-hmm. And then we do that some other time. And it ruffled some feathers. But I was like, I'll do whatever. But then at this, I want this. Yeah. So it's like there's going to be a through line of, I think, probably all of our questions of communications with your people.
Absolutely. Do you have both now where you have like your own Christmas and then you go and visit?
Yeah. Yes, we do. We've created all of our own traditions. And I think her family was understanding. We both thankfully approached it like, what do we want?
Right.
Like, what do we want to do? And, you know, we had this random thing like on Christmas Eve that we went to this neighborhood in Brooklyn that has all these houses that are really lit up. And then we did hibachi after. Okay. And that's become our Christmas Eve tradition every year now. So it's like we have built these things, but it's because we both were open to it. So I think that's important.
Yeah, I think the way you can start being open or practice openness is just sit down with the person you love, your partner, and say, tell me about a joyful holiday memory, one that you treasure, that like warms your heart. and start there, like exchange stories and talk about what it was about those moments that brought you joy. Maybe it was, you know, I think back to one of my memories where I had a friend who lived down the block and she would come and sleep over Christmas Eve, and we'd sleep under the Christmas tree, and my grandma decorated it so beautifully with all the lights, and the presents were there, and we would get in our sleeping bags and just sleep under the tree, and it was lovely. But what was it about that? It was, first of all, that everyone around me was resting. I come from a family of workaholics, so to see the people around me getting to rest and knowing that, you know, my mom was in the next room sleeping peacefully, my grandma was nearby, we'd all kind of gather. Like, that was the coziness, the cozy factor for me. So as you tell these stories, first of all, you empathize with your partner. You're like, wow, this means so much to them because it brought this feeling to them. It brought this sense of safety, maybe, or this sense of belonging and feeling safe and loved, right? So starting with those stories, I think, can help you to be more flexible or make you want to be more flexible and more accommodating, or find the commonalities between what you love about the holiday traditions that you maybe were brought up with, and then finding a way to meld them into a new one.
Yeah.
But starting with just the joy and the delight, because that's what we're after.
I love that, Sam. That's such a great way to enter, because you know why it's important to this person. And then that always makes me want to give that to them.
Right, exactly. And then when you start there, now you're on the same page. Now you're in that zone of love. You know, you're in that field of love. And then the conversations that come from that are going to be a lot more creative, first and foremost, right? Like, you're going to get creative about what you want to create together. And it's just going to be more fun to talk about it rather than, you know, the negotiation process.
Yeah. You know, in improv, there's that whole yes and. Like, you never say no to somebody. You're always supposed to say yes and then add to it. Like, I try to approach our traditions as yes and with my family.
Yeah.
They're currently, two of the four of us are trying to, like, get out of the holiday lights tour. And I was like, no, I didn't yes and that. I just said, but what I will do is, let's bring hot chocolate. Let's bring this. Let's make, because you're cold. So let's add this into it. Let's go a little bit earlier,
right?
You know, like, all the things.
Yeah. And sometimes being dragged to things, it's like, I don't know, for me, when I know that someone wants me there, even if I'm not keen on going or thrilled about it, I'm just like, wow, I'm wanted here. I belong.
Yeah.
I'm part of the group.
Oh, that's nice.
And that's a good thing. Even saying that to kids, I think, can be helpful. Like, you're part of the family. You're part of our group. We love you. We want your company. And we're going to make it fun for you. We're going to try our best. You know, I think that means a lot, especially when you're a child, just knowing that you belong and you're part of it.
Yeah, that's lovely. And I think also approaching it with a spirit of compromise as well. You know, there's a couple of, like, family type parties that we have to go to, and just being like, all right, we're going to do that. But, you know, maybe on the way over, we'll go to P.F. Chang's first, so that it's like, we're making it fun for all of us. Like, because there are obligations in the holiday season as well. And, you know, like, okay, well, we have this obligation on your side of the family. We have this on mine. What can we do that there's no obligation, that we're like stepping into that creative space that's just fun and joyful and hits all our buckets?
That's so, when you mentioned P.F. Chang's, I thought of, like, what a difference a certain little stop to a place that you love can make. Like, there are certain coffee shops I absolutely love. And if my family's willing to stop there on their way to something else that I'm not thrilled about, my happiness goes up like to 90% just because we made that little pit stop. So those little, those little adjustments and making it special for someone can actually be a very small sacrifice that, you know, a 5-minute stop, or, you know, a little dinner that is at a special place. And it's so worth checking in with everyone and seeing how you can make it special for them, make it meaningful for them.
You know, the other thing I would say is, like, to try to check if you're really set in your ways, you know, because I think that sometimes we'll be doing something because that's just what's been done, but nobody really wants to do it anymore. And so I think that you could use that same logic or check in with yourself to be like, okay, well, this is what I did as a kid. but was it what I loved and was it what I wanted to do? And am I just doing this because that's what I think I'm supposed to do? Like that open curiosity, is there a new thing that might bring happiness? And if this year we're not going to do the lights and everybody's not into it, well, then let's look for something new and different. Like a tradition doesn't have to be rigid.
Exactly. But I think you can add that into your meditation practice too. You can do we call it self-inquiry, where you're just asking yourself a question. And the question could be, what would bring me joy this holiday season? And just allow images to come up or thoughts and maybe nothing comes up, but you want to journal instead. But give yourself some time to just imagine an ideal scenario. And that doesn't mean you have to try to make that ideal happen. You might be in a ski lodge in Switzerland or something in your mind. But you can take something from it. You can extract some wisdom, innate wisdom that's coming from within, and help make that a possibility for yourself.
Yeah. Everybody deserves to relax and enjoy the holidays.
Yes.
It doesn't always happen, but everybody deserves it. And so I think looking at it like my partner, I want them to have what makes them happy. I want me to have what makes me happy. Let's get there together. I just think that if you can approach it from that point of view, that's why I just love what you said at the top, Sam. I just think that's such a wonderful way to start that conversation.
Yeah, start with a story. Start with what brings you joy. You can just ask, and listen. Listen really with your whole body, listen with your heart. And it's a great place to start. Yeah.
Well, Maria, good luck. We hope that you have a lovely holiday. We hope that there's, part of your tradition is listening to our annual holiday episode. So make that be part of your traditions and keep us posted as to what shakes out. I would love to know what her holidays look like.
Absolutely. Please follow up.
Okay. We will be right back.
Hi friends, Robin here. Okay. I've got a scenario for you. Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system that you can trust, or is it a a real POS? Look, you need Shopify for retail because Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store, okay? It's going to accept payments. It's going to manage your inventory. Shopify has everything that you need to sell in person. And with Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that's going to effortlessly unite your in-person and online sales into just one source of truth. So that means you could track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Seems kind of important, huh? You're going to be able to connect with your customers in-line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools that are built for marketing campaigns at places like TikTok or Instagram. Even beyond that, you're going to get hardware that fits your business, take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point of sale system, or you can use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, my friends, Shopify's award-winning help, it's there to support your success every step of the way. I say you should do retail right with Shopify. So you can sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/headspace. That's all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/headspace to take your retail business to the next level today. Shopify.com/headspace. Come on, you wanna.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil, now streaming, only on Hulu.
Okay, here is a question from Gina J. Here we go.
Hi, Headspace. My name is Gina J, and I'm from North Carolina. I'm kind of in a weird position with my partner, but really is with his family. His mom booked a family vacation for everyone without really asking us if this was something we wanted to do. Now we have to go to some rented house in the mountains with a huge group of people. I feel like I should be thankful because it is a generous offer, don't get me wrong. but I'm also an introvert, and I'm already overwhelmed with the idea of spending this much time with this many people during my time off from work. And I find myself also becoming really resentful. And I'm also a little mad at my partner because it feels like he's not really supporting me. I'm just not sure what to do now.
Ooh, Gina J just hung up there. She was like, I am done with this question. Thank you, Gina.
I so relate to that frustration. Just first of all, I want to call that out. Like, it's your precious time off. You should be able to, you know, spend it in a way that feels restful and restorative and good for you. So I just want to affirm that because
we hear you. You know, we see you, Gina J. We hear you.
Yes.
You could hear her getting a little bit more mad as it goes on. She's like, you know, I want to be thankful because it's like, it's generous, but I'm a little bit mad about this. And also I'm an introvert. And also I'm sort of mad here. Like, it's like, isn't that all of us at the holidays?
And there's like it's like this protectiveness that comes up, this kind of fierce protectiveness of your time and your sanity.
Yes.
Let's just call it what it is. Like, really, this question reminded me of times where I reached, you know, 9 out of 10 in my just fed upness. And I remember one time driving to a Chinese food place because it was the only place open on Christmas. And I had the most peaceful lunch by myself. And it was like, I just stayed out probably 1.5 hours. And I knew I was going to hear from someone in my family about how long I was gone. And I just owned it. And I was like, you know what? I needed this. I needed to just get away and have a quiet lunch by myself. So that's what came to mind for Gina too. Just, is there a way for you, if you've already committed, if you're kind of already going to go to this, this family event, is there a way that you can plan a little getaway for yourself? Maybe a walk in nature, maybe a cafe where you can just go and—
A movie.
You know, read a movie. Yeah, whatever feels restorative and nourishing for you so that you get what you need in the midst of all this busyness and all the extroverts around you.
Yeah. Sometimes you just got to do the thing. And so then the next thing is, can you protect yourself while you do the thing?
Right.
Because otherwise that resentment is just going to be oozing from your pores.
Exactly.
Maybe there's a reframe if you are able to take care of yourself. Like, okay, well, I have to go on this journey. What could come that I wouldn't have normally had here?
Yeah. And sometimes when we have these conflicting feelings, we feel like we have to choose one. We have to choose a side.
Yeah.
Like, I'm either going to commit to being grateful or commit to being resentful. And I think from a mindfulness perspective, we can sit with both and go, yeah, part of me is really grateful. Hey, she or whoever took the time to plan this and wanted it to be a pleasant surprise and how delightful that is. And also, gosh, I'm really wanting time by myself and I really want this, and both are true. And being able just to hold that and allow yourself to feel the feelings that are coming up can be really helpful in not adding an additional layer of trying or striving to make yourself fit into one or commit to one specific emotion or way of being.
And I don't know what the family dynamics are, Gina J, but can you ask for what you need in advance? Can you tell people like, look, I'm having a particularly difficult time right now. It's been really crazy busy. And because of that, I may need to step out.
Yeah. It reminds me of how helpful it can be to be very clear on what you need.
Yeah.
And I think of the NVC model, the nonviolent communication, where you clearly state what you're feeling and what you're needing. And there's a great list of needs. Mm-hmm. I have it all over my house, the needs list, because I can point to it and just say, hey, that's the one. I need cooperation. I need, you know, there's so many possibilities. But being clear and then letting people know how it restores you. When I go to bed at this certain time and I get time to listen to my audiobook, I feel restored. I get to sleep better. And then I'm more attentive and present and joyful the next day.
Yeah.
So you can let the group know how much it means to you to get the things that you need. And that might help them rally for what you need and getting what you need.
Yeah. And I do think there's one other component, because she mentioned her partner, her husband. I feel like there's a conversation to be had there about what support looks like. And if you're resentful with him going into this trip, that could be problematic. But if you are able to talk to him and say, I wish you had talked to me about this first, so that maybe that we had had some choice in here, or I wish you had backed me up, whatever the hurt is. And then saying, but now, like, let's all, like, let that go. And now we're going on this trip. So here's how it would be helpful. Like, I'm going to make this declaration that I need to go to bed at 7, like, or I'm going to go take little breaks. Can you support me in that? Can you check in on me? Little things like that, so that you don't feel alone on this trip.
Exactly. You know, for me, my one aspect of my partnership that feels really safe and supportive is that I know my husband has my back.
Like, yes.
He really, no matter what's going on, he's going to check in with me and he's going to support what I need or try his best or let me know. He's going to be honest with me. And so if that feels threatened in any way, or you feel like you're kind of losing that feeling of cooperation with each other and like you have each other's back, that's a really, I think, a good signal to pause and just check in about that in particular.
Yeah.
Because it can feel really unsafe if you don't feel like you're being supported in the ways that you need to be by that most intimate partnership.
Yeah, it's very true. Yeah. Well, Gina J, we hope that this trip is lovely for you and that you are able to find some joy in it and, you know, have all your feelings at the same time.
Absolutely. And let us know where you went, if you found a Dairy Queen nearby or, you know, some line dancing. That sounds really fun.
Oh, well, Sam, I have to tell you, spending this time with you and answering these questions, this just been such a lovely way to get ready for the holidays. And I'm truly walking away from this excited for traditions, excited for being with the people and just celebrating. And so thank you for this. This has been lovely.
Oh, likewise. This is, I think, my favorite episode ever. I just felt I have a blanket on. I've got my Christmas sweater. I'm cozy as heck. I'm just feeling really good. And I'm hoping that all our callers get some rest and some joy this holiday season, for sure. And if you're struggling and you want more guidance and some suggestions and advice on how to make the holidays work for you, we have so much content in the app that helps you navigate family dynamics and meditations that help you take time and reflect and get clear on what you need and what you want. So yeah, feel free to go in there, explore and check it out.
That's a really good point, because we didn't talk too much about the practice during this episode. And it's like, I think that's a really good point to underscore, which is like, don't throw the practice out during the holidays. Keep that going, for God's sakes.
Yes. If you can get your family to do it with you, I mean, I want to hear about how that worked, because I definitely need help in that arena.
Well, I'm saying, like, I hope my holidays are lovely too, but, you know, with that much family time, that much time off from work, I will definitely be checking into those courses, like all the courses, and I'll be like calling you for a hand massage. And thank you to Philip, Maria, and Gina J for your questions. And if you're at home, maybe you're listening with your family right now and you're hiding in a closet to reset. If you want to just reach out to us for some advice, all you have to do is go to sayhi.chat/dearheadspace. Record your questions, so easy. That link is in the show notes. And if we use your question in an upcoming episode, you're going to get 3 months of Headspace for free.
Awesome. Yeah, so send us your questions, and we love all of your questions. They really are the heart of the show.
Yeah.
They make it happen. So now it's my turn to offer a little something. I can't offer a hand massage across the radio waves, but this is our little gift to you, just some time to transition from all the things that we talked about, all that you just experienced from listening, and just taking a moment to settle your mind before you jump into the next thing. So we're leaving you with the sweet, soothing sounds of a thunderstorm in Delhi. So take a listen and just let your mind do whatever it wants to do.
Until next time, stay happy, stay healthy,
and please be kind to each other.
Oh, and happy holidays! Dear Headspace is a Headspace Studios original podcast. It's produced by Robin Hopkins, Ash Jones, and Scott Sorensen. It's executive produced by Morgan Selzer, Sarah Cohn, Baron Farmer, and Danny Chrisimi. Our production coordinator is Taylor Jennings Brown. It's hosted and produced by Robin Hopkins, Kesanga Gascombe, Dora Kamau, Samantha Snowden, Eve Lewis Prieto, and Rosie Acosta. Post-production is by Dan Kroll. Music is by Scott Sorensen and Chris Murguia. And a special thanks to Colleen Lutz.
Grand Canyon University's RN to BSN online degree program makes earning your bachelor's in nursing possible. Balance online coursework with local in-person clinicals to position yourself for potential leadership opportunities in the time you have from wherever you are, leaving room for what matters. Achieve your goals with your personalized plan and team behind you. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Visit gcu.edu.